What's going on, Orlando City fans? Welcome back to the Lions Blog Podcast. I'm your host, Gavin Rushno, and today I will be previewing the Inter-Miami match on Saturday with Franco Panizo, a writer and podcaster for Inter-Miami. He will get you his information during the episode. Before we get started with that, though, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Cappy Subs. You can order over the phone at 407-647-9099 or online at cappysubsfl.com, all one word. Please make sure to leave a five-star review as we will be reading them out on the podcast. And with that, let's get straight into it. As I said earlier, I am here with Franco Panizo. Hi, Franco, and how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Happy to be here. Happy to talk some footy with you. I'm looking forward to Saturday's game. It's going to be the first matchup between these two teams that will be played in front of fans. So that's an added wrinkle. So plenty to talk about as we gear up and get ready for Saturday.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a very interesting one. We really do appreciate you for your time, though, over here at Lions Blog. Do you really quickly want to go into how you cover Inter-Miami, what you do down there?
Sure. So I cover Miami in the day-to-day. I'm a beat writer. Most of my writing is done at sbisoccer.com, but I also do video and a podcast at Miami Total Football, F-U-T-B-O-L. I have a YouTube channel with that name where I post video regularly of the ins and outs of Inter-Miami as well as on the podcast. Try to record weekly, but obviously with how this year has panned out, it's gotten tough to do it on a weekly basis, just talking about what's going on with the club. But we do it somewhat regularly. I have a co-host. His name is Eric Krakauer. He's a commentator for BN Sports. So, that's where I'm doing all of my work right now. I'm trying to diversify. I've been a writer for 10 years. Covering soccer, so I've been writing for a long time, but this year I figured I would diversify my plate a little bit. So trying to do a little bit of podcast, a little bit of video, and so far I'm enjoying it. It's definitely different type of challenges, different type of, like, thinking, but it's been fun.
Good. Now I know this doesn't really pertain to tomorrow's or Saturday's match. It's not Friday yet. I know this doesn't necessarily pertain to that match, but I want to get your thoughts on the two massive signings. Obviously, Higuain seems to be coming in, and then that Gonzalo Higuain, of course, not the one now down at DC United, and then Matuidi, who could feature in the match. So I want to get your thoughts on the two big European names coming in to David Beckham's Inter-Miami.
For sure. So let's start with Matuidi because he's already with the group and has already played in a game or two games. He helps bolster that midfield. They, from the start of the season, they had talked about wanting to sign a number nine and sign a central midfielder. They were close at one point with a young Boca Juniors midfielder named Agustin Almendra. They were the owner, Jorge Mas, even came out and told us at one availability that they were close to signing him. It was imminent, and then things kind of fell apart when the pandemic shutdown hit and the league stopped and everybody stopped moving and everyone kind of stayed indoors. So they finally were able to address that position with Blaise Matuidi, definitely a different type of player, much more experienced player. But what we saw in that first game is he's going to be able to help that midfield a lot, because the central midfield spot was, from my analysis and even from within the team, was that it was a position that needed an upgrade. To play the style that Diego Alonso wants to play, which is a little more dynamic, a little quicker, a little more versatile. I mean, and you've seen it now in these first two games, more so in the first game that Matuidi appeared in. He's got a more range of passes. He's physically a little bit better than the other options that were here or that are here, but that were playing beforehand. And he's going to provide better two-way play, both sides of the ball. He's gonna provide an upgrade. As for Higuain, again, number nine. They were looking for a number nine. They've been looking for a number nine. At one point, they were thinking about going for a younger guy, not necessarily a household name. Then they started looking for the household names more recently, and they've landed apparently on Higuain. He's reportedly landing tonight in Miami. So an announcement could come maybe as soon as tomorrow or Friday, and he won't be able to play, obviously, for at least 10 days because there's an MLS protocol that requires mandatory quarantine of, like I said, 10 days. So he won't be able to play. But when he does, you expect that he'll also provide, like Matuidi, a massive upgrade to the striker position. Inter Miami has been hot and cold, more so cold, throughout the course of this expansion season at that spot. There's been bright spots at times. Julian Carranza's two-goal performance against Orlando City in that home opener for Inter Miami a few weeks ago is the most notable. Robbie Robinson has shown some flashes, the rookie out of Clemson. And Juan Agudelo has scored a couple of goals. But again, it's just not, it's a position that needed an upgrade. They've been trying to get an upgrade for so long, and it looks like they're finally about to get that over the line and finally address that position of need.
Now, you mentioned it earlier, just a couple seconds ago, actually. Inter Miami beating Orlando City 3-2 at the home opener. And that's obviously what we are here to kind of talk about, focusing on the Orlando City match coming up on Saturday. I want to get your thoughts on that first match. Obviously, Carranza getting both or two of the three goals. And I can't remember who got the other one. Who was the
Pizarro, when he scored cross him and he scored low. I don't know if it was a volley technically, or if it took a bounce. I think it was a volley because I don't think it hit the ground before he kicked it in. Maybe it did. My memory.
It was a very good finish overall. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He placed it low and away, and then he jumped into the stand and took a pose with the fan cardboard cutout that was in the supporters section where the fans would be, but. I mean, I thought that was one of Miami's best games of the year. They definitely were able to score goals, which is something that's been a bit of a challenge for them. But Orlando City didn't roll over, and Orlando City made it tough for them in those closing stages. They got a goal back through Nani, who also caused them havoc in their first ever meeting at MLS's back. And then, you know, it was Miami had to kind of try to set up shop and try to hold on for dear life. So I expect this game to be a very hard-fought game, a very tough and intense game. I haven't even thought about who I think's going to win. I know both teams come into this a little hot and cold in the last couple of results. Orlando gave up a late equalizer against Atlanta and bounced back. Miami has gone from struggling, going scoreless for more than three games to winning against Atlanta United. So it'll be interesting to see. I think Orlando is probably the better drilled team and a little has shown that it's taken the Oscar Pareja and is a more complete team in terms of the roster that's been built. Miami's still with pieces coming in. The good news for Miami is that Blaise Matuidi will probably start. He sat during the midweek game after starting last weekend. So expectation is that Matuidi will start. Probably not 90 minutes fit yet. Probably could go 60 to 70 again, but so it's a big added benefit for Miami's chances that a player like Matuidi and of his caliber will be able to suit up and go for them in that midfield.
Now, you said a common theme was Miami struggling to get goals. What were some other common themes for Miami throughout the other matches in phase one, which was a Nashville loss, a Nashville draw, an Atlanta draw, and Atlanta win, correct?
Hold on, let me think. Yeah, I think you're right. Orlando, they beat Orlando. They lost to Nashville, tied Atlanta, and tied Nashville, and then they beat Orlando. Yes, correct. Okay, so over just this phase, we're talking just this phase. We're not talking about MLS's back. And
just recently.
Okay, so defensively, they've looked a lot better, than what they were. Big part of that is the introduction of, and Orlando City fans will know him well, I'm sure, Leandro Gonzalez Pires, the former Atlanta United center back. He wasn't able to play at the MLS's back tournament, even though he was signed right before then. But he has looked very good in phase one for Inter Miami. He's been the same center back you've seen over with Atlanta United over the recent years. Occasionally makes a mistake or an unnecessary play or challenge. Maybe he's a little bit too rough at times, but overall very stout, very good, and he's helped round out that back line that's now looked set. Because before his arrival, there was pieces changing left and right. You know, Diego Alonso was moving. trying to figure out what the best combination of his back four or back five or back three at different points would be. But it looks like he's found the back four with Nicolas Figal on the right, who was a traditional center back and was playing center back for much of this year. But he's been playing right back as of late and has done a fairly good job, even though it's not his natural position. He's been playing at right back. Andres Reyes, the young Colombian, speedy, a little unorthodox in his defending, but very speedy and great passer of the ball. He's been playing at right center back. Left center back has been Leandro González Pires. And at left back, we've seen Ben Sweat, who's started to really pick it up in these recent games. So I think in phase one, if there's a positive, a little big positive to take away from this, is that Inter Miami's defense has been playing very well. So that's something that's kind of been overlooked because they haven't won many games. But it's definitely a positive for Inter Miami right now.
Now, since the win against Orlando City right at the start of phase one, has the team changed tactics at all? Has there been like a change in formation? Has there been a change in game speed or anything like that? Like what's been going on tactically with the squad?
Diego Alonso has, over the course of the entire year, and I don't want to like not answer your question, but over the course of the entire year, he's just been very, he's mixed it up
consistent?
A lot.
Consistent? Oh,
not he's consistent. He's just mixed it up a lot. He's thrown different looks, different formations. Like I said before, he's played, you know, in terms of defense, he's played with four-man back lines, five-man back lines. You know, he's mixed it up a ton. And now what I've seen and noticed in phase one of MLS's regular season resumption, and maybe it's because maybe he was doing this during previous games, but I don't think so because I attended the season opener. And even on TV, I didn't notice this during MLS's back. He's throwing different formational looks in the process or in the course of each match. So when Inter Miami has the ball, they do different things now than they were doing before. Maybe it's the time that they were allowed to work on the tactics he wants. You know, the fullbacks go high up the field at times. So it looks like at times they're playing with like a four-man midfield. And this is just a lot of interchanging of positions. Players have to cover for each other. And it's not just like the traditional, like, or the more normal or more regular, a left winger covers the left back. No, this is like a center midfielder can cover the left back. If the left back is pushed up into a central spot, the fullbacks find themselves out on the wings often. Rodolfo Pizarro, who was playing centrally, then he started playing out wide. Now he's back centrally, has been given freedom to roam. And if he ends up finding himself on the left and the left winger has to come inside and fill his spot, it's very fluid. That's the best word I can probably give you. It's very fluid how they're playing right now with and without the ball. And it seemed to throw different looks and different challenges at opposing teams. But again, without that finishing, it's been tough for Miami to really play effectively, but they've created some good chances, especially as of late. Obviously, in this last game, they finally got the goals. They finally got the finishes. But even before that, they started creating a little more danger, a little more clear-cut opportunities they just weren't able to put away. So tactically, I think things have gotten to another level, and I expect that it will only improve or get better for Inter Miami with the more reps they get with Blaise Matuidi once Higuain comes in. Although I am curious, because Inter Miami, I haven't even touched on that. They've definitely become even more intense in their pressure and their high pressing. So that's something that's curious for me is how Gonzalo Higuain fits that mold. How much pressing can he do at this point in his career? He's definitely a threat to score goals, and he's probably going to do that in bunches. But how is he going to affect the functioning of the team in terms of their pressing? I think that's an interesting talking point going forward for Inter Miami, but yes, you can expect the team is going to press and throw a lot of different looks at Orlando City at certain points. Because I think they know that Orlando City is also good with the ball, so they might try to play a more counter-attacking game at points. But I think you'll see a pressing, high pressing, definitely from the start maybe, and at different points throughout the match.
Now, do you think, obviously, Atlanta, oh my goodness, Inter Miami are coming off of their second win ever against Atlanta. Do you think that will give them confidence going into this game? Obviously, Lewis Morgan finding the back of the net twice, and Luis Robles coming up with two massive penalty saves.
Yeah, for sure. I think they definitely are going to head into this one with a renewed sense of life and just freshness and confidence, because that failure to score and that failure to win, I feel prior to this match, was really starting to weigh on them. Just their body language on the field and their reactions to misses or saves. It just, the team just didn't look like they were enjoying playing as much as they should. And that changed a bit over the weekend on Wednesday. They obviously had to grind out the victory. They didn't cruise to the finish line. But after the game, you could see their spirits was much higher, not only in their post-game comments, but just their vibe and just how they took the social media and how they were. It's definitely done them a world of good in terms of an emotional and mental standpoint, this victory. And I think that's going to help them head into this one a little freer and able to play a little bit more than maybe they would have if they had entered with another draw or a loss.
Now, the only reason that game was played on Wednesday was because of the protest to not play earlier in phase one. How do you think the lack of rest from Inter Miami for the sixth game? I mean, you can talk about lack of rest earlier on in phase one, but this is the end of a grueling stretch of games for these players. How do you think the fact that they are playing a midweek game, whereas Orlando City did not have to play a midweek game because they did not participate in the protest, how do you think that's going to affect the outcome of this match?
Listen, in professional sports and soccer especially, you know, all the little things add up. There's never just one reason why you win or one reason why you lose or tie. It's always the little things that just can add up to help influence a result. So I think it will affect, there will be an impact with regards to that and on Saturday. And I think that's another reason why maybe you'll see Inter Miami at certain points. Sure, they'll want to press, but I think at other points they will, not going to say they're going to sit back and park the bus, but they'll maybe play a little more reactively and let Orlando have the ball and press from a mid block, because they are on short rest. They've had a lot of short turnarounds. So that's why. But they've also planned. They've also planned for this. You know, they sat Matuidi during the midweek. They didn't want to push him too much. He just joined the team late last week. He had two training sessions with the entire group before he played in his first game and his debut with the team. So they sat him for the midweek match. He came off the bench. And again, I assume that he'll start this one on Saturday. But again, there will, the legs aren't 100% fresh. They'll be a little heavier than they would be if, you know, this was, if we're in normal circumstances where you're playing just on every weekend basis. So I think it will have an influence. I think it'll definitely impact a bit of the game, but it's not the end all be all. Teams have been playing pretty consecutively on short rest for a few weeks now. You know, maybe some teams have had one less game or have played one more game earlier, but it will. Yes, yeah, to answer your question, just straightforward as I can. It'll have an impact, but I don't think it'll be the determining factor in this game.
All right, sticking with kind of stuff that might go against Inter Miami, who are some of the disappointing players, or what are some of the disappointing facets of Inter Miami's team right now?
So the left midfield or the left wing spot has been kind of disappointing. Not kind of, it has been disappointing. It's just kind of, what I wanted to say is it's kind of been in flux over the last few games, because over the course of the majority of the season, it's been Matias Pellegrini, young Argentine, that they signed to some decent money last year, one of the first two signings the club made. And he just hasn't lived up to expectations. Granted, he's very young, and like Diego Alonso said the other day, they have to ride the highs and lows that comes with young players. That's normal. But he hasn't. They've taken him out of the lineup as of late. They started Juan Agudelo a couple of games ago against Nashville. I thought he played fairly well for not being a natural winger. He's not, you know, he's more of a forward, not your typical wide midfielder that can beat people and turn the corner with his speed. He's more of a guy that likes to have the ball at his feet and combine and and do different things. He likes to have the ball. He's a technical player, not necessarily the fastest or the most athletic. I thought he played well, but then during the midweek, he got rested or he was taken out of the lineup, and Breck Shea came in. Breck Shea also started in the game against Atlanta United in Atlanta at that position. Didn't do as well there as he has when he's come off the bench. So it's kind of been a position that's been in flux as of late. I would expect Juan Agudelo to start there on Saturday just because of how well he looked there. He created, again, it's not his natural position, but the way he drifted towards the middle and into the pocket, as he said after the match, helped Inter Miami create space for Ben Sweat and allowed Blaise Matuidi to hit balls to both Agudelo and Sweat that allowed them to create chances. And him and Ben Sweat, the left back, and I'm talking about Agudelo, were involved in four of Inter Miami's best scoring chances against Nashville over this past weekend. So I would expect him to start this Saturday at that left midfield spot, or left wing spot.
All right, let's flip the script here and talk about some positives. What has been a positive part of Inter Miami's play?
Well, like I said, the defense has been very good. That back line has performed noticeably better. They still have had some hiccups, but it's been an improvement overall from what they were. Blaise Matuidi in his debut looked really good. This last game, not as much. He came off the bench, and Inter Miami was just kind of trying to close out the game and grind out the victory, so he didn't have as much of an influence. He was just there trying to help defend and put pressure and get physical in that midfield. But I think he was a plus in that first game, and I think he'll do that again, help them keep the ball a little bit better. They haven't had much possession. I think they've won the possession battle maybe in three games this year. So I think he'll help them keep possession a little bit better. I think he'll help them create chances a little bit better. So that's definitely something to look out for.
All right, how do you see the match playing out? I want to get your thoughts on what you see from Orlando City that you like and dislike, and how you think Inter Miami can counter that and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I mean, I've liked what I've seen from Orlando. I think they're well ahead of what I and what many people thought they would be at this point in this topsy-turvy stop-and-go season, especially given how it's panned out. So I liked what I saw from them at MLS's back. Nani has been incredible. Chris Mueller has stepped up his game and contributed with some goals. I think they need help at the striker position. I think the Lions, that's if there's one weakness they have, it's that spot. It's that they just don't have a reliable number nine that they can turn to, not only for goals, but also for hold-up play and for just things that you ask out of that position. But I think tactically and their organization and defensively, they've improved miles from what they used to be, where, you know, before it just always felt like Orlando City would shoot themselves in the foot. If they didn't give up a goal in the last 10 minutes of a match, they would find a way to score it themselves against themselves. So it was crazy. And there's been, I'm a proving ascent, so I've always kept a very close eye on Orlando. I'm also Floridian, so I've always kept a very close eye on Orlando City. And now Pedro Gales is in goal, and he can also help win a game or save a game or preserve a result. So definitely a much improved side. Oscar Pereira has done an incredible job with that group, especially so early on. And with the more players that he's able to bring on board, I think Orlando City is going to get better and better. I think it's safe to say that they're going to make the playoffs for the first time in their history this season. And as for a result this weekend, I'm going to go with a draw. I know there's been a winner each time they've played so far, but I think a 2-2 draw will be the result in Orlando City. And I think, look, the atmosphere, I think, obviously it's not going to be a full house because of the social distancing and the rules that are still in place. But I think the atmosphere is going to be interesting and exciting because I've heard that there's going to be some Inter Miami fans going up, and there's going to be a supporters group or supporter section of sorts for Inter Miami's fans. So I think that there'll be a nice little atmosphere to the game, something that obviously we haven't seen much of this year because of the situations we're living and we're going through. So definitely should be an interesting one, a fun one. But if 2-2 draws my prediction right now.
All right, I did not know that about the Inter Miami fans coming up. That should make it an interesting watch, and interesting definitely for the fans, Orlando City fans attending the game. I didn't know you're Peruvian, so I've got a curveball question for you here.
Sure.
Who's the better goalkeeper, Galese or Robles?
Oof. Look, Pedro Galese is a Peruvian international, and maybe a few years ago, I would say Luis Robles was just, and obviously Luis Robles doesn't play for his national team regularly, but maybe a few years ago, I would have said Luis Robles just based on consistency, whereas Pedro Galese was young and up and coming and had, he had errors even with the national team at certain times. If you're asking me right now, in this moment in time, I think Pedro Galese is the better goalkeeper. I think Luis Robles has dropped off a little bit from what he was. I think he's still very reliable and still very good, as evidenced by what we saw on Wednesday against Atlanta United. But if you're asking me right now, if I had to take a goalkeeper, I'm trying to not be biased here. I'm just looking at it from a soccer perspective. I think Pedro Alves is probably the better goalkeeper right now.
Yes, sir. Something we can agree on. I don't know. I'm trying to think of my prediction, because Orlando City coming off of two disappointing draws, a draw at Nashville where we just looked below par, and then a draw at home against Atlanta. We were by far and away the better team in terms of chances created, but we were not clinical, and Atlanta United was. They also played some pretty good defense in the game.
That's where you need the number nine to help break open the game, because like when you have that quality number nine, even like a half chance or just that little bit of space, they can turn that into a goal or help create a goal. And that's what I said earlier. I think Orlando City is lacking that. And even though Nani's and Chris Mueller have helped pick up the scoring load and done a bunch of the lifting in that regard, I think they need a number nine. They can find a number nine. I know they just signed one a couple weeks ago, but if they can find someone that can give them a little bit more in that part of the field, then I think Orlando City's will have a much better chance at making a very deep run this year.
Yeah, that's been the talk at a big number nine. DK has obviously just been awarded player of the month, so that kind of has put the number nine talk into question, because it's now, well, yes, DK's got a hot run of form, but can this last with DK? And then maybe we go out and splurge on a DP winger, like a number seven or something. Mm-hmm. Predictions-wise for the game, I don't know. I think 2-2 draw is fair, but I think I'm going to lean 2-1 just because I think we're Orlando City winning. We're going to be angry at our performance these last two games, and we might come out. Obviously, we're going to have the chip on our shoulder that we rolled up into Inter Miami and they played us off the park until late in the game when we almost came back. It's turning into a really good on the pitch rivalry between the two teams. Both games have been very good watches. Maybe boring for the neutrals, but for fans, they've been very interesting to see how the two head coaches have tactically shifted and tried to outsmart each other. So I'm going to go with a 2-1 win, but I would not be surprised to see a draw in this match either. Franco, where can my listeners follow you at again?
So I'm on Twitter at Franco Panizo, PANIZO. And then obviously my work, again, like my writing is at SBISoccer.com. I don't just cover Inter Miami. That's what I focused on because I moved back to South Florida. I'm from South Florida growing up, but I moved back from New York where I was covering MLS for the last 8 years. In February, right before all of this started, just sheer coincidence that it happened that way. I came down to cover Miami. And so I do most of my writing, not just on Miami, just I cover the league as a whole, U.S. men's national team, a bunch of different things. But right now, a lot of my focus has been on Inter Miami for SBISoccer.com. And then my video and my podcast is specifically Inter Miami focused, and that's at Miami Total Football. We also have an Instagram account and all that. So like I said, I've definitely kept myself busy this year. I've been learning a lot of different things, a lot of new things. And it's probably been as productive as I could be with the downtime I've had. So given the circumstances, but I've learned a lot. So it's been good. And obviously gotten to do more of these type of guest appearances and been able to talk to people about the game and about Miami. So it's been fun. Given all things considered.
Yeah, it's good to hear. I feel like I've gone in the opposite direction personally from being really productive to really not productive.
It's tough, man. It's tough. Like, you know, the, like just being stuck inside all day is presents its challenges, especially, you know, mentally it can be a real grind too, you know. It's like, so I definitely had days where I've been like, all right, I'm just not doing anything today. But once the game started picking back up, and it was like, all right, it's all, you know, hands on deck. And like I think I told you off the recording is, you know, game days are, and the days after game days are crazy for me. I sleep probably 2 hours, 3 hours max, just between end of the game nights and then everything I do in the morning and the day following. I need to figure out what I'm going to do in Orlando, because I always rewatch games that I cover. Just because, you know, in the moment when you're covering a game, and this is just my opinion, my experience, when you're working a game, or even when you're watching a game, and if you're watching for the first time, obviously you don't know what's going to happen. So there's emotion that comes into play and that can distract you from, and especially if you're working and you're tweeting or you're taking down notes, you're writing a game story, you're talking to people in the press box. You know, there's things that can distract you from analyzing the game. The emotion of the game also is an influence, because, you know, oh, is that a red card? Is that not a red card? And, you know, but the game continues, so you don't really get to really analyze. So I always try to rewatch the game after the fact, when I'm done working, before I continue on to the next day. It's one of the reasons why I sleep so little the night of the games. I rewatch the games, but I'm planning to go to Orlando. I should be there on Saturday to cover the match. But I don't know how I'm going to rewatch the game, because I don't know what channel it's re-airing on, or I don't know if it's going to be on, or if I have to DVR it. But I don't, you know, if I'm in a hotel, I don't know if they'll have DVR capability. So hopefully it'll be on a channel overnight so I can rewatch it, because otherwise my analysis might not be as good as I would like it to be.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's seemingly been a huge challenge for many fans across MLS, just with all the blackout stuff. It's been frustrating, for to say the least, for plenty of Orlando City fans. But yeah, you get some sleep tonight. Sounds like you had a busy night last night and a busy morning. We really appreciate your time, man.
Oh no, hey, thanks so much for having me on. I'd love to come back on later at some point if the teams meet again or whenever you'd like to have me on. So it was good soccer talk, and you know, enjoy the game on Saturday. It should be a fun one. So there'll be fans in the stands, and that should make for a good atmosphere, even if it's not the full house atmosphere that we'll see at some point down the road.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You have a good one, man.
All right, man. Have a good night.
Quickly here, Nani gets in behind. Here's Nani with a chip. It's 1-1.